When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is sponsored by New Gen Families, guiding both gestational surrogates and future parents on safe, supportive, and ethical surrogacy journeys.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
We sat there in the parking lot waiting to go into the gym for an hour, reading over their profile. I mean, like, really going through every detail. And I mean, it was a really, that was an experience that I will never forget. The moment we, like, saw their profile and, like, that's really where it started to feel real for us. We started to, like, dream about what this experience was going to be like. It was a really emotional experience because we were like, these could be the people that we, like, carry a baby for. This is a huge deal.
Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I am your gay host. And this is the show, the only show out there that celebrates, uplifts, highlights, and normalizes LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And this episode is a good one. It is a good one, y'all. I'm Allie and Megan. They are a blended family. They've got two kiddos, and they just gave the gift of family to another queer couple by being their surrogate. Well, I should say Allie was the surrogate, but Megan was there throughout it all and stood by Allie while she did it. And as you know about surrogacy, the spouse has to be on board too. So it's a really beautiful story. We talk about their experience with surrogacy. We also talk about their journeys to parenthood, because as you can imagine, they're different than your average run-of-the-mill stories, which we don't really tell on this show. So we talk about that. And like a real big takeaway for me is how special the relationship became between Allie and Megan. And it proves once again how the LGBTQIA community is just doing family right, y'all. Chosen family for the win. It's beautiful. You're going to love their story. But before I roll that tape, I have to make a confession. I got to tell y'all something. I think I have a really bad crush. I do. I have a really bad crush. I'm talking like college girl crush. Like, oh, you want me to move furniture for you? No problem, kind of crush, just so I can be around you, even though I never get to be around this person because it's Kamala freaking Harris, future president of our country. Listen, if you had told me that I would have a crush on any politician years ago, anytime actually until recently, I would have told you, you're crazy, but I do. And please tell me I'm not alone. Y'all have it too, right? I mean, I watched I watched a 3-minute TikTok video of basically Kamala walking from one plane to another plane. That's it. That's all she did. She walked from the plane to the plane. And it was like 3 minutes long. And I had a smile on my face the whole time. And then I watched it again. So yeah, I would say I'm hardcore crushing on our future president, Kamala Harris. How about y'all? Please tell me I'm not alone. You feel it too, right? You feel it too. And what I know you definitely do feel is the hope that is in the air right now. The DNC is like is in full swing right now as I record this intro. And oh my God, the hope I'm feeling right now is just so beautiful. And it's being echoed up on that DNC stage. It is a party over there. And Kamala, my future girlfriend, sorry, Anne, I already told Anne about this, so it's okay. Kamala is bringing that party. And, you know, like Michelle Obama said so eloquently in her speech last night is when I heard it, what I'm about to try to explain from my own heart in my clunky way. But like, basically, the turnover that has happened since Biden stepped down and Kamala stepped in really has made me realize just how hopeless I have been feeling in our country for quite some time. And this new feeling of joy and hope for the future, it feels slightly foreign to me, right? Like, it's kind of crazy. And it also feels so freaking good. And I know y'all are feeling it too. It's exciting. And it's an exciting time. I'm seeing the light. I'm seeing the light. Inclusion and equality for all, y'all. Because true inclusion elevates everyone. True inclusion elevates everyone. I heard somebody say that recently. Actually, it was my boss, and I like it. And that's what I'm seeing right now. And that's what all of us are seeing on the stage at the DNC and, you know, with what's happening in the world, in the country right now. And let's go. I have never, ever fully watched a DNC or an RNC or anything. I've never been into politics until, honestly, recently. And now I'm like eagerly anticipating this show every night. That is all we're putting on at night, which I'm like, who am I? I'm staying up late to finish it. It's crazy. And I guess like the hatred and the injustices that Trump brought out, I guess they got me mad and fired up. And I bet they got you that way too. And they made me want to pay attention. So I guess thanks for that. And now, oh my God, the hope and the joy that Kamala and Tim are bringing me has glued me to my seat with everything that's going on. Anyway, all right, I've yammered on enough. I'm just very excited. Let's go, y'all. Let's go. A little joy, a little hope, and a crush. Who could ask for more? I haven't had a crush in years. This is so fun, especially because I can't have it. So it's better that way. Anyway, all right, I'm gonna roll this tape. It's a really great episode. Enjoy Allie and Megan's story, and I'll talk to y'all soon. All right, Helen, Beulah, Nicole, Gerson. I should just name Kamala. Kamala. Hey, Kamala, would you roll that tape, please? Thank you so much. Come on, Kamala. Come on over. Let's roll the tape together.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Allie and Megan.
Hi.
It is wonderful to have you on the Queer Family Podcast chatting with me. I hope you're excited as well to speak with me.
Absolutely. We are. I've actually really been looking forward to it.
This is a whole full circle moment because I've been hearing about you two for quite some time, honestly. And so now I'm really excited to hear your full story. And just so everybody knows at home, Allie and Megan just moved. They're in a new house. They're sitting in their stairwell because the house is not fully moved into yet. So we were dealing with a little bit of sound issues, a little bit of technical difficulties. So if anything shows up in the episode, you know why now. We're all trying to make it work. So, all right, without further ado, Allie and Megan, can I get your 30-second elevator pitch about who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad? On your marks, get set, go.
I'm Allie, and this is my wife, Megan, and we have two kids, a six-year-old daughter and a four-year-old son, and they keep us very, very busy, and we just completed a surrogacy journey for a family in California. In April, I gave birth to a beautiful little surro baby girl, and we have an incredible relationship with the family, and we're really excited to get to share what that was like with you.
Boom! That was beautifully done. You did that in 30 seconds. Good work.
Your time, so.
I'm very proud of you. That was awesome. All right, so okay, we got to dig in. So, Allie and Megan, you have two children.
We do,
and you have been a surrogate for another couple. So we have a lot of ground to cover here. But before we do that, can we take it back to how you two met, how you two began?
I was in a prior marriage and had my two kids. Then I blew my whole life up and I came out. And thankfully, my ex-partner was, we were on the same page about it. You know, we both knew that we would be happier being fully ourselves. And we're still really great friends to this day. And so we separated, became friends and co-parents.
So you were in a, you were with a non-queer.
I was, yes.
Got it. Oh, yes. So you made your babies, you made your babies the old-fashioned way.
Yes. And now we are the primary parents for our kids. So lots of big changes in a short amount of time. We actually met just a couple months after my divorce. And we were kind of both in a place where neither of us were looking for anything. And that's kind of how it always happens, isn't it? When you like least expect it, you find the love of your life. And both of us were just like, yeah, we'll just be friends. And, you know, that's all it'll be. And then, you know, life had other plans. And we went on one date and haven't separated since.
True U-Haul story right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Allie, I have to take it back. You were with your ex-husband, and did you come out before, like, did you like all of a sudden just say, listen, I can't do this anymore. I have to live my truth. I'm gay. Or did the relationship break up first? And then, like, how did that all transpire?
It kind of all happened at once. I was not out. Nobody but a handful of very close friends knew I was even into girls. And I told them, you know, towards the end of high school, but I was very hush hush about it. I didn't have a family that was very supportive of that at the time. And I was just always too afraid to take the leap and be honest about that. And so I was pretty honest with him from the jump of like, just so you know, I am also into girls. That's not anything I would ever pursue. And then that was it. And so, you know, 3 years later, into a marriage that was unfulfilling, and, you know, we just both were unhappy, and it just, you know, we had enough respect for each other to not want to end it on bad terms and for us to like both respectfully just step away because we knew it wasn't going to work. You know, obviously it was a difficult transition. But thankfully, you know, I had chosen a partner that was my best friend. And, you know, we cared about each other very much. It just, you know, for obvious reasons was never going to work. And we were just meant to be friends. So, yeah. You know, it was a very amicable split. And, you know, everything worked out really, really well, honestly.
Okay, awesome. And okay, and then Megan enters the picture.
How's the bomb?
There's the bomb that lit everything on fire, as Tyler in my previous episode said. So what happened? So Megan, had you been living that queer life already? Were you like, how did this go down? Because Allie is new to the scene.
Yeah,
so
I was well seasoned, to say the least. I have always primarily been with women. So even from a young age, I mean, I've been out, you know, since I was like 12 years old.
Wow.
And a lot of people were like, oh, it'll pass. And I was like, I don't think so. I remember when my older brother would like watch girls on TV or something like Transformers with Megan Fox. I was like, am I supposed to feel like this or not?
And then everyone thinks Megan Fox is hot.
Yeah.
I mean,
but from that, it was just kind of one of those things where I was just like, yeah, I don't think that I have the same interest as like the friends that I have that are females have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of it for me. And then I just kind of never turned back. I was in a few somewhat serious relationships, but I honestly never thought I would get married. And then I met Allie, and that kind of flipped the script for me. And I was like, oh, I will marry you today. Even though in the beginning, I was the one who was like, look, I'm really not looking for anything serious. I want to focus on my career. And then I finally convinced her to go on a date with me. And once she did, I was just like, oh, maybe I do want something serious. So, and then we pretty much, again, that U-Haul lesbian story, just to like the first date. And I was just like immediately hooked. So.
Wow. And where do you all live?
Wichita, Kansas.
What's the queer scene like in Wichita, Kansas?
Honestly, we both grew up in small towns where we were pretty much the only gay people there. And so Wichita, honestly, is, as far as the area goes, being in the Midwest, it's pretty open, pretty accepting. You know, there is a gay community here. There is, like a pride celebration. So like, we definitely feel way more comfortable being ourselves here than, we would in our small towns.
And I think the small town story, when you're gay, it's always like, for her, she just stayed in the closet because nobody else was gay. And I primarily went after straight women because that's all there was, which was like a disaster. Awesome. Yeah.
And then you got the next best thing because she was straight and then you got a newbie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was like, well,
she's my only girlfriend I've ever had and I married her. So
yeah.
Listen, you found your person. And that is a serious case for representation and why it matters so much, mm-hmm. right? Because
we definitely have very different experiences. You know, I feel like I'm definitely way more involved in like the queer community here. And she's less mm-hmm. so because it just feels so normal to her. And to me, it feels like this new, exciting thing. And I think it matters to me so much more that there is right. representation and that we're being that example to other people who might be, afraid to take that leap.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's freaking beautiful. So, okay, listen, then, okay, there's two kids in the picture though, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're U-hauling it. And Megan, how did you take to the fact that there were kids? I'm pretty sure, Allie, that you were upfront about the fact that you had two, and they were young at the time, I'm assuming, young kids.
Yeah, our son was a year and a half old. So he was little, and daughter was 3 and a half.
It wasn't too hard for me, honestly. I had kind of come to a conclusion. I was like, well, if I'm 30 and I don't have any kids, I'll just adopt and be, single parent and just have a kid of my own, because I never really wanted to be with somebody who had kids, to be completely honest, because I didn't want to mm-hmm. have to co-parent with anybody else other than my partner.
Right.
Because I just always thought that would be a struggle for me. And I mean, not saying there hasn't been struggles. Of course, there has been. But overall, we waited 2.5, 3 months, I think, before I ended up meeting the kids. She would put them down and then I would come over. We would hang out and stuff. I'd be gone before they woke up the next morning. We wanted to make sure it was something that was actually going to work. I didn't want mm-hmm. to be somebody who came into their life and then just left. She didn't want to be somebody who brought people into her kids' life that left, because it's really hard at such a young age. They get attached very mm-hmm. quickly. So it was interesting. But one day I walked out and the kids were in the car and they were like, we want to say hi to her. And I was freaking out. And so Kimber, our daughter, was waving to me. And then I was just like, I looked at Allie and I was like, do I wave back? Am I allowed to say something?
And then she cried. She's like, she waved at me.
Yeah, I did cry. But after that, I was just like, okay, cool. Let's ease into it. I think I'm on a page where I know I'm going to care about you. And we kind of knew, even if it didn't work relationship wise, that we were going to be best friends. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. just had a really strong connection. We were interested in the same stuff. We could talk about all the things, you shouldn't talk about it. And it could be very open and honest and give each other opinions and listen to each other. So it just felt very safe, very normal. And I knew I'd be around. So we got to be around the kids a little bit more. And then it was all just kind of up from there, So they've been by my side pretty much ever since. And she probably gets a little bit jealous now whenever they come to me.
She's definitely the favorite parent in the household, for sure. But anyone who knows Meg knows that she was just made to be a mom. And she has really, from the moment we started dating, really stepped into that role. And, it doesn't feel like she's just a bonus parent. I mean, it really is she just is their mother just as much as I am. And they,
awesome.
She has really stepped into that role. It's been great for all of us.
I have a couple questions here and I'm loving this. This is cool and I love it. And I just, queer families are we're so creative and we're so outside the box, and the way it all shakes down is always such an interesting and unique story. I have a couple questions. on your story here. So I would love to, if I can, Megan, dig into what you said about how you always thought you would possibly be a parent and you thought like you would just adopt someday. Can we like dig into that whole thing? Because when it comes to, you know, being queer and then realizing, all right, I'm going to need help to, it's not going to happen, you know, just on accident, I'm going to have to figure it out. The way we come to how we think we're going to do it is always so unique and interesting and always filled with so much more than you see on the surface. So I'm wondering if you can kind of dig into your, like your thoughts before when you were thinking about the possibility of maybe being a parent someday.
Honestly, like being younger and gay, I never thought about like IVF and stuff like that. You know, it wasn't something right. I was like knowledgeable on at all. So I just didn't think, you know, being whoever, even if I did get married, that we were going to adopt regardless. Cause I was just like, oh, that's something that's not very attainable. But I never thought about getting married either before Allie. So I was just, I coached soccer for a really long time, for like 6-7 years. And I always coach like preschool, kindergarten, first grade. And I have a sister. We have a 14-year age gap. So it was always like growing up, I just loved kids. I love being rambunctious and fun and, you know, being able to teach the lessons and talk through stuff and everything like that. So I always knew I wanted kids. There was no question about that. It was just like, how am I going to get to that goal? I knew I didn't want to co-parent. So I felt like adoption was, and I was in and out of foster care. So like adoption just seemed something that was like, oh, this is, you know, there's so many kids that need that. Yeah. And if I could be that for a child, you know, and there could be one less child out there thinking like, am I not good enough to be with a family? Then that's the route I wanted to take. And honestly, I think that we're still somewhat open to that because we do want a child of, you know, our own. We have our own kids, of course, but without the extra co-parenting aspect of it, adoption is still on the table. But we're also thinking about, since we already have two kids with her DNA, and we went through, you know, the surrogacy process, we were basically like, well, what if we did it to where my egg was put into you and you actually carry my baby? So
reciprocal idea,
whatever. I don't know what it's called. Obviously still not super knowledgeable on that.
I have talked to so many like lesbian couples or two uterus couples, I should say, who like so many of them think they came up with the idea of reciprocal IVF because like sometimes if you've never seen it and you don't know it's out there, you know, like it's the coolest idea in the world. Like, can you imagine if we could do that? And actually we can, which is super cool.
Yeah. I didn't even know that that was a thing until, you know, becoming a surrogate. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I could be your surrogate, kind of.
And then
kind of, but also like, but then you make the baby. It's like the coolest, like it's the most, the closest many of us can get to like a true connection, both of us having
And just the thought of her carrying like actually my child is just, I mean, with the surrogacy baby, it was always like in the beginning, I wasn't too sure. But then when the belly started popping out, it was always just like rubbing the belly, kissing on the belly and stuff like that. So I'm like creating that connection, even though I knew in the end, you know, the baby wasn't going to come home with us. But I'm like, man, if we could do that again and it actually was my DNA, there would just be this undeniable like connection and feeling, you know, that I never thought I'd be able to have as a lesbian.
I feel you. And y'all are doing it all topsy-turvy and backwards and all kinds of which away. And I love it.
Taking any road.
We are going inside out and upside down and all the way. And I love it. And what's interesting to me is like, even now you've seen the whole process and Megan, you just don't have a desire to carry.
Yeah. I've honestly, even as a kid, a young kid, when girls were like, oh, I can't wait to have a baby and all that, I was just like, that is not a dream or a goal that I want to attain in any way.
I love it. That's why science is bomb for us. So, okay. So get together, kids, the co-parenting is working. Like it's happening. You are all parents of the two kids. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, you know what? Let's help another family have a bit. Like, how did this come about? Like, what? Clearly, Allie, you like to be pregnant, like I'm assuming.
Yeah,
honestly, I have really, really easy pregnancies. I've known lots of people who just do not have great pregnancies and they're miserable. And that is just not my experience. I honestly am really lucky to have great pregnancies.
It's easy for her. She didn't make it easy on me, but it was easy for her to get. It was a lot of, can you go get me ice cream at 11:40 at night? Hey, I really want this. And I'm like, okay, I'll be right back. I think there was one day that I went to like three or four different places because she was just like, I can't decide. And then I was just like, okay. And I just walked out the door and I came back with everything. Because I was like, if I get you something, you're going to want the other thing. So I'm just going to check all my boxes.
This is why they have to check on, they have to check both of you before you get into this, this contract, because you both have to be on board.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, in more ways than just being able to go to the store for her, but you know what I mean? So how did this, like, how did this come about? You've got these two beautiful babies, you're familying, and it's new, right? Like, it's still relatively new. So how did this surrogacy thing come about? And it's beautiful. It's amazing. And now we got to dig in.
Actually came up because my sister-in-law, Megan's sister, was in the process of becoming a surrogate also. And it was the first time I'd ever actually heard of someone doing that. Like, I mean, obviously you see it in like movies or you hear about it, but I had never like met or seen someone who had done it before. So I was like, this is not something that actually happens. And she was like, yeah, it was actually pretty easy. You know, I just filled out kind of like a questionnaire and got approved. And of course, you have to go through all the medical process. And she had already matched with the family and everything and was kind of taking me through, you know, what that looked like for her. And I was just in shock that it was so attainable, because I was like, that's just like a, I had considered like egg donation and things like that before to help a family. And obviously I'd heard of surrogacy, but I was like, yeah, that's something that's like rare. It wouldn't happen for me.
And it's hard to do.
Yeah. Or, and you know, who knows if it's like a something I'm able to do from here. So yeah, I was just in shock that she could do it. And so, I mean, I knew in that moment, it was like this light bulb moment of like, that's it. That's what I'm meant to do. Like I had this moment.
That's where we very much differ. Like, this is where we very much differ. Cause I would meet her and be like, girl, good luck.
That's what I said. I was like, you're doing a surrogacy?
We had only like been together for, I think, what, like 6 months at that time? Not a long time.
Wow.
I kind of just told her, I was like, look, if it's something you're uncomfortable with, I totally understand and I can hold off on that. I just want you to know where my head's at. It's something that I know I want to do and that eventually I'm going to do. And, you know, I would really love to have your support to do it. And
she's walking the line a little bit, because right after my sister said that, she started filling out the application on her phone while she was sitting beside me on the couch.
Yeah, so I was like, what's the worst that's going to happen? They say no. Yeah,
I'm watching football with my nephew. So I was like, are you actually filling this out? And she's like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. And I was just like, okay. And then she was like, is that fine? I was like, I mean, it's your body. It's whatever you want to do.
Honestly, my thought process at that point is like, let's just fill this out, get the process started. Cause she did say it's a lengthy process. So I was like, you know, at any point in time, you know, we can change our minds. Let's just not get our hopes up and whatever. But, you know, we did go pretty in depth after that. After it started to feel more real and we were kind of like inching into the process, we were like trying to see how that would play out in our lives. Like what that would look like for us. So,
and just trying to have a lot of conversations of like things I would feel uncomfortable about, situations that if we, I don't know, you know, certain families or things like that. My sister had a really unique experience. Unfortunately, her experience after we talked to her was not a very good experience with like the agency and stuff that she went through. So when that happened, I started to kind of get a little bit nervous because we weren't too far into the process yet. And like, then I was stressed of like, well, are they going to take care of you? You know, what if this happens? And she was just running into problem after problem. But honestly, once everything went through, we started feeling really comfortable having a lot of those talks just every day and just working through it like a day by day, pretty much.
Because like the agency, it really matters, right? Like,
for sure.
There's so many agencies out there. And I think we'll dig into that for sure. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Okay, my loves. Sorry to interrupt, but I need to pause for just a second to talk about the sponsor of this here episode. New Gen Families is the surrogacy agency that Allie and Megan used, our guests today. And it was founded by Damian Chambers, who appeared 2 weeks ago on the show in his episode about how he built his family through surrogacy, titled Surrogacy, Sperm Donation, and Raising a Rainbow Family. If you haven't listened, you should go back and listen. It's excellent. And here's why I love New Gen Families and Damian so much. And it's not just because they are improving the experience for both gestational surrogates and future parents by ensuring safe, supportive, and ethical surrogacy, important stuff, or that they have experienced surrogates on the leadership team who I've talked to who guide you through the entire journey, which is important as well. But here's the big one. It's also because when I interviewed Damian, I said, "Ooh, we should interview one of your surrogates." And he said, "Yes, and I want to sponsor that episode." He didn't have to offer that. He didn't have to offer that at all. Matter of fact, few folks who are hoping to reach my audience actually do offer that. But he did because he knows how hard it can be as a LGBTQIA business owner. And he gets LGBTQIA folks. And he gets how hard it can be to build our families. And he's doing his part with New Gen Families to try to make the process a little smoother and a lot more empathetic. And that really matters. So if you're interested in the surrogacy journey, maybe New Gen Families is the agency for you. And here's something truly awesome. If you mention that you heard about New Gen Families through the Queer Family Podcast, you will receive a $1,000 discount on their surrogacy agency fee. Y'all, come on. That's amazing. I do love Damian and I love New Gen Families. So go check them out at newgenfamilies.com and go make those babies and then come talk to me about them because that's how we do. Okay, I love you. Let's go. Back to the show. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feather snapcam.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Love is love.
All of the surrogates that I have spoken to, I call surrogates unicorns. I think y'all are magical unicorn people because every single one has said, as soon as I learned of that, I was like, oh, that's me. That's what I meant to do. It's really interesting. Like, I think every surrogate I've talked to has said something similar to what you just said, Allie. It's really interesting. There are not many people who could give a gift like this. I couldn't do it. I know I couldn't do it. First of all, I hated pregnancy, but also I don't think I could go through this, right? So keep going. Let's take us down the path of how you went about it. And obviously you're not going to use your sister-in-law's agency at this point once you see how that's all going down. So what did you do? How did you go about finding the right fit for you?
Right. So I kind of went through, it's an agency now, but at the time it was more like a matchmaking agency. So like they take your stats basically and they pitch it to all these different agencies and then come back to you with like who's interested in taking you on. And so I was presented with three different agencies. So I did some pretty in-depth research about all of them, looking up like reviews and all that. Mm-hmm. And of course, with anything, there's always mixed reviews. But the main thing is I wanted to know that the people truly cared. Things like the benefits and all that was not as important to me as like being taken care of, making sure that, you know, I was not just a number and that whoever I was working with, they truly had a passion for what they were doing. So I did quite a bit of research. The agency I ended up going with was New Gen Families. And I had looked into them pretty extensively and their whole team had, you know, either had a kid through surrogacy or had been a surrogate for many, many years. And so that was a huge green flag for me that they've been through it. They know the ins and outs. They know what can make the experience negative. The founder, Damien, he really just hit a chord in my heart. His story about his own journey of having his son through surrogacy was so beautiful. And we know Damien.
We talked to him.
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
And he really made me feel proud to work with them and to partner with them for my journey and truly made me feel like I was cared about and went really above and beyond to make me feel, you know, cared for. So, and their whole team truly, I mean, every conversation from the beginning, from filling out the beginning paperwork and talking about packages. And then, I mean, they were really helpful throughout the whole, they kind of like held my hand throughout the whole thing. So they blew me away. There was a lot of factors that we had considered.
Oh, like what? What do you mean?
They were a newer agency. So at the time, we didn't have a lot of like other people's experiences to go off of. But also that was kind of like gave me hope too, because it's kind of like when you support a small business, you know, you know that it matters so much more to them. It's like their baby and they are going to care for it and nurture it. And that is how I felt about them, is that they truly have their heart and soul into this company and that they are going to take good care of us.
There was just a care that you could tell you couldn't fake, how they were talking to us, how they were treating us. Like a lot of agencies, like she said, was more like about statistics. Oh, they might do this.
It was very cut and dry, felt very businesslike, and we wanted something very relational.
And that felt real and honest, and you know, that we could say what we needed to say, and they all, like she said, held our hand through the process, asked us all the hard questions, made sure that we were really prepared to do it. And that type of care, like that first call that we had together, I was just like, wow, you can tell. They are like really amazing people there. And that kind of locked us into them.
So, you know, any potential surrogates out there listening, you know, it's a gut decision. Like at the end of the day, at the end of it all, you really do have to trust your gut And this comes up a lot too with all of, because we always need help to create our families. That's just the sad truth of the matter. You're going on a whim many times. And in the end, like, the best thing you can rely on, I feel like, is you, your gut. Trust it. Trust how you feel, I suppose. And also do all the research and get the statistics and do the stuff. But that comes up a lot. We have to trust folks. We really do.
And I feel like the experience or the idea of it can be really scary, but it's not. You know, they made everything as smooth sailing as they could for us. And that's one thing I wasn't doing it, but even I was scared, you know, and I kept telling her all these things that were popping in my mind every day. And they just, like, answered every question, moved straight along with us, and just let us know, like, if you guys have comments and concerns, talk to us, you know. And
it always felt like they were, like, two steps ahead of us. Like, they took care of everything before we even had a chance to be worried about it.
That's great. That's what you need. You don't know what you got to do. You know, this is like all new territory. So you decide to go with them. And then were you matched quickly with a couple or a person? I don't know. I don't even know who you were matched with.
Yes.
So, like, let's talk about that.
It kind of felt like making a dating profile.
Yeah. It's literally like Tinder, kind of, but with other couples.
So, and except for us doing the swiping, they do it for us. So we made a profile for ourselves. We included, like, pictures of our family, included, like, our interests and things that we do together as a family, things that we believe in. They built, like, a one-page profile for us. And then all the intended parents do the same. And so they filter through those and they try to go through and see, okay, who could be a potential match?
Because once you're matched, I mean, you're working together. Like, now you are basically kind of like family, for lack of a better term.
Absolutely.
I mean, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Once you're matched, you got to do this together.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make sure you're on the same page.
I mean, you can always unmatch up until you sign the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew that the rest of the process, it is kind of lengthy. You know, there's like a medical process, there's the legal process. And so we knew, like, you know, we had some time to get to know them and really feel sure of our decision, but we knew pretty much instantly. But so how that looked for us was they warned us, like, hey, it could take, you know, a couple weeks or so. We really want to make sure we're not just putting you with anyone. We want to make sure this is a really good fit. So in order to make sure it's the best fit, it could take, you know, a little time. So if you don't hear from us immediately, don't be worried. And then 24 hours later, we got a call that, hey, we got a potential match. I'm sending you their profile. And so we were sitting in the truck in our gym parking lot. And we sat there in the parking lot waiting to go into the gym for an hour, reading over their profile. I mean, like, really going through every detail. And I mean, it was that was an experience that I will never forget. The moment we, like, saw their profile, and, like, that's really where it started to feel real for us. We started to, like, dream about what this experience was going to be like. It was a really emotional experience because we were like, these could be the people that we, like, carry a baby for. This is a huge deal. And
we
felt a connection to them before even meeting them. Just reading their profiles, we were like, we are going to love them. They were another lesbian couple.
Yeah.
That live out in California. And they are a little older than us. They were both in their 40s and we're both in our 20s. We were pretty excited about that, you know, like, meeting another, we don't have a lot of gay couple friends. And so, like, even just getting to have that experience of meeting with another lesbian couple that's older than us and, like, has had that experience and live in a very open-minded place. And, like, that, we were like, that alone is going to be such a life-changing experience for us because we don't get that here. And, you know, it really just tugged at our heartstrings because obviously we know what that's like to not be able to, like, naturally have a baby together.
Mm-hmm.
It just meant that much more to us to be able to provide that for them.
And I think they're pretty much us in, like, 20 years.
They really are.
Like, one of them is a lot like me. One of them is very much like Allie. So it was when we talked on the video for the first time, I remember we got off the call and we were telling each other beforehand, like, okay, let's go slow. And then right when we closed the computer, we were like, oh,
it's them.
Oh my God. That's amazing. And so you created a little bit of chosen family and you also got some gay aunties.
Yes. We really wanted, we were both on the same page of, we don't want to do this surrogacy unless we're with people who want to keep the relationship going after. That was like our biggest concern, was after the baby was born, there was just going to be this cutoff and we would have this connection with this child that we would never see. We would never be able to watch him. Not like it was the feeling of our baby, but she almost feels like our niece, honestly, like just this child that we care for so much. And when we talked to them and they were on the same page of like, no, we want you guys involved. They talk about inviting us to her first birthday party and stuff like that. Aww. So that was the main thing that really drew us in. We could tell that they really wanted a relationship to keep going after the fact.
Yeah, it's such an emotional experience being pregnant, giving birth anyways. And then, you know, you add the added factor of like, it's not your baby to keep. You know, it's a very emotional experience. It's a big experience and it's pretty intense. And so it really mattered to us that it didn't feel transactional, you know, that it wasn't just like, you know, I'm a baby factory and you take your baby and you go. I wanted it to be special for them throughout my pregnancy. I wanted them to feel completely comfortable coming and visiting, asking all the questions, asking for pictures, touching my stomach. Like, we really wanted them to feel completely like that they were part of the pregnancy too. And that's hard to do if you don't have that bond together.
I mean, it's really just such a beautiful gift. These surrogacy stories are really also extremely important to tell because, as you know, there's so much rhetoric out there that tells totally false things about what surrogacy even is.
For sure.
Like, people have the craziest ideas, right? And this is just one of the most beautiful things that we are able to do through science. It's just more of these stories need to be told. And so you help this couple, and it sounds like now you have this great relationship. So how did it play out? Did you give birth in Kansas or did you? Yeah, you didn't fly over to California.
No. The intended parents, they came and visited quite a bit. We were really lucky to get to have some time with them throughout my pregnancy. They came for the 20-week anatomy scan, and that was another one of those aha moments that, I mean, it was so emotional for all of us. I mean, it makes me tear up, like, even just thinking about that moment where they got to, like, visualize their baby for the first time in person and see her move around in there and, like, take home the pictures. And it was just truly a bonding moment that we will never forget. It was so, so special for us. It was one of those moments that really made me feel proud. Like, this would not have happened if it weren't for me. Like, one of those moments where I truly felt like proud of myself for following through with it. So they had came and visited a couple more times after that. We were hanging out all together with our kids, which was wonderful. Then the baby ended up coming early, 3 weeks early. So they had planned to come like a week or so before her due date, just in case. I kind of warned them. I was like, just so you know, for some reason, the babies try to exit super early. My kids were early, so just a warning.
And this was your third, so, you know, your body knows what to do.
Three weeks early, I started feeling contractions, and I was like, oh, I think they'll fade. And then, like, throughout the day, I was at work, and so throughout the day, I was like, nope, not fading. So I called them and was like, yeah, you need to get on a plane and come now. So that's what they did. But, you know, the flight from California all the way here, it's not like it's going to happen in a couple hours. So I tried to make baby hang out as long as we could, but unfortunately it's not up to me. So they weren't able to make it. So they were still in the airport whenever I was delivering, but Megan had actually like recorded the birth so that they could have that to look back on. And and then we FaceTimed them right after she was born. So those first moments where she was alive, you know, they could be there for that or feel like they were there for that. And, you know, it was a pretty great experience. I'm really thankful. Aww. I had a partner that was so supportive throughout the journey, of course, but then through the delivery too. And, you know, we kind of had envisioned this grand moment of having them there and them getting to hold their baby as soon as she's born and them cut the cord. And, you know, that wasn't what happened. And so I'm really thankful I had her there to like be my support person. And, you know, she ended up cutting the baby's cord. And it was just this really special thing that, you know, we got to feel like we got together to give to them, which was really special for us.
You both gave this gift. And it's really, first of all, like with birth, you never know what's going to happen. My wife wasn't in the room for my son's birth because it was like an emergency and they were wheeling me. And then she got lost in the hall. So she missed it too, though she was there. So you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
I just want to highlight like how important it is, once again, to have an agency that you really, really, really do trust, because the whole time you're telling this story, I'm thinking, oh my God, what if, because me, this is why I know I couldn't do this. Like for me, it would be like, oh my God, what if I wanted to keep the baby? Like I cut the cord. I want to keep this baby. That's why I should never be a surrogate. But you know what I mean? Like, but that's why having an agency that you know you can trust, because they're doing the due diligence. They're making sure that all parties know what their part is and they're fully 100% on board for what the plan is.
Yeah, we were pretty thoroughly vetted beforehand.
Yeah.
We had to go through obviously like a psychological evaluation to make sure that we were like mentally capable of doing this. And we know that the intended parents had to go through the same thing. And so we trusted on our end that they, and I know personally that like NewGen is very picky about who they work with. They don't just choose anyone who wants to be a surrogate or wants to work with them and be an intended parent. They want people who truly have the same heart and mindset that they do. So we knew on our end that they would not partner us with people who weren't good people and weren't going to be good to us. We did trust them a lot. We put a lot of faith in them that they were going to take care of us, and they delivered that. So we really lucked out with a great agency, because I mean, when I was thinking about doing it, I had heard so many stories on the opposite end of, you know, like not having great experiences. And, you know, when you're choosing to do something so big, it really matters that you can trust the people you're working with to do the hard part for you.
Yeah, seriously. And there's a lot to this that, you know, queer baby making don't come about so easily.
No. You got to cry a lot.
You got to work hard. There's no accidents here. Well, there are very few, like really very few. Baby comes, they get there. Gorgeous, lovely. It happens. You did it. Now you are involved and you've got your chosen family and it's all working out. And now you've got your kids and you're co-parenting. And what's next?
Yeah, that's a big question. What I wanna know. So we kind of just started to like settle from all of that. You know, that was such a big thing. And we were actually supposed to go and visit them for the 4th of July, but we've had some big life changes too. We actually never had like a formal wedding. And so we have our wedding in October now. And so we've been in the process of all that. And that's a lot.
Sure is.
That I was not prepared for. And for half of our planning for that, I was pregnant. So at that point, I was like, I'll do it later.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's later.
Oh my gosh.
So we're in the process of that. We just closed on a house 2 weeks ago now. And have been in
congrats.
Full. Thank you. So now we have a place to be poor at.
We're officially poor.
So
yeah,
pouring our heart and soul into renovating this place. And, you know, it's about to be school. And now our son is going to be in preschool. And so both kids will be in school. We've had a lot of big things happening for us. And so,
yeah,
it's been really good, though. I think we've had the right amount going on to kind of like, you know, all those post-baby hormones happening were rough. And then, you know, I think there's the added layer of like, obviously, I knew from the beginning, it's, you know, not our baby to take home, but your body still goes through all those emotions. And so like navigating the like bodily changes with not having a newborn to care for. And then, you know, like, obviously, we were really close with them. And then we spent a lot of time with them and a lot of alone time with the baby too, after she was born. And so it was kind of like the missing them, knowing that they're so far away and they're not just like a couple hour drive to go and visit and catch up. Like they're halfway across the country from us. So navigating those emotions too, you know, it was a journey, but I think we're finally in a good place where things are starting to feel more settled and, you know, moving forward, we've got all the house stuff, the wedding stuff, but then, you know, looking forward in the future, like planning what our family situation is going to be like, you know, adding another member to our family down the road too.
Yeah. And you think you do still want to add another member.
We think so.
Eventually. Oh,
wow. Yeah, we want to wait until ours are maybe just a little older and not throw another baby in the mix. But yeah, mm-hmm. definitely something we've got our sights on.
I love this. This is, I have to catch up with you in like 10 years.
Yeah, and see. Yeah, I'm sure a lot will have changed by then.
It's really amazing. And the sky's the limit. And when it comes to the wedding, don't sweat it too much. It's going to be beautiful because gay weddings are the best.
Hey, that's what we've heard. All of our friends are so excited. They're like, gay weddings are literally the best. This is going to be the best.
They really are. Because you can do whatever you want. You can right. do what you want. And your family's going to be like, I don't care, you're gay. Exactly. And parents are like, what, you want to do the thing? You want me to walk you down? Like, you never know, like, how right. the parents are going to. So it's like, fine, we don't have to do any of the traditions. Thank you very much. Goodbye with that.
And that's then, pretty and much what we've done. So
yeah, we're not even having like a best man. My grandma's going to mm-hmm. be my best either. Man. So we're calling her yes. the best brand instead because she's like my best friend. So we're just like doing whatever Aww. We want to do. Pretty much we want it to be fun. We want it to be formal, but we want it to be done our way. So
yeah, gay weddings are the best. So have fun with it. And then, you know, just ease your way. And you're still very young. You still have plenty of time.
Yeah.
So this is amazing. And you're unicorns, both of you. For giving that gift, it really is truly just such an amazing gift to give.
And I've heard that numerous times of like, oh my gosh, what a blessing that is for that family. But truly, from the bottom of our hearts, it's been just as much of like a blessing for us and our family. The changes that we saw in ourselves as people going through that experience were so drastic. And even like our kids getting to experience that with us was really incredible. And, you know, knowing that it's really very empowering for me too, knowing like that's what I'm capable of. It's been really wonderful all around for us and them, obviously.
Yeah. I love it. And you probably taught your whole town about it, you know?
Yeah. I pretty much had to give the whole surrogacy pitch every time I came across someone, but it's really great, you know, because it's not something I'd heard of. So the more I can, the more people that I can like let know about it, the better.
Yeah, all 30 people in our town heard about it.
Well, representation really does matter and it changes hearts and minds. So good job. Good work. So you gave a gift to humanity is what you did. You didn't just make a human. You just gave that gift of humanity to all of us. So I appreciate you. I love you too. This has been so wonderful. I wish you all the best with the co-parenting and the wedding and the house and whatever happens in the future. I can't wait to find out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. It was really great getting to visit with you.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. This is wonderful.
Thank you, Jamie.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you to our sponsor for this episode, New Gen Families. Check them out at newgenfamilies.com and mention the Queer Family Podcast for that $1,000 discount, y'all.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.